Okay, before we have our quiet time, let's all get on the same page. If you're reading from the Sparkly Book, it's page 434, a new section entitled The Happy Dream. In the second edition, it's page 382. And in the first edition, it's page 357. If your reading's from the JCIM, it's page 181. And if you're reading from the CIMS edition, it's page 365. A new section, The Happy Dream. Okay, let's take a few moments to be quiet together. Good evening. And welcome to everyone who's joining us on the internet. As you begin to more consistently practice the holy instant, choosing to join with the Father and no longer maintain your divorce from Him, no longer maintain your independence, you are going to find yourselves experiencing the fact that in the holy instant, in that joined state of mind, God's laws prevail. God's laws disallow for anything unlike God. And the disallowing of anything unlike God is therefore at the hand of God, at the hand of the way things work, and not because of any power you personally have. As you engage in the holy instant, irregularly, but nevertheless you engage in it frequently, you are going to have experiences of the correction of problems because of the fact that you have allowed yourself to be in the place where God's laws prevail. And this is going to cause you to find reason or justification for engaging in the holy instant, in joining with the Father. Now, you are going to prefer not to do your own thinking. You are going to prefer not to engage your imagination as you go through your daily affairs. And as a result, you will abandon the arena in which sin, sickness, and death occur. You will also abandon the arena in which you, as an authorizer, seem to exist. You, as a source of control, you're going to find that by comparison with your movements in and out of the holy instant, that to be alone with your own thoughts really isn't satisfying, and that will cause them to seem to be, it's going to cause them to be something you don't choose to indulge in anymore. Now, this is not going to turn you into a monk or a weird one of any sort. I mean by that someone behaving considerably at odds with everyone else. But the fact that you will be more and more consistently joining and saying, Father, what is the truth here? Holy Spirit, what is the truth here? You're going to find that the state of being in the holy instant is a state of being in prayer. Constant prayer. Father, what is the truth here? And you listen, and you grasp the meaning, and you naturally say, yes. And as I've said many times, prayer is saying yes to God. So, you are not going to be engaging in denying the world. You are not going to be engaged in trying to get rid of or control anything, quote, in the world. That's what you've been doing forever, relatively speaking. And you are going to find yourself turning to the Father and staying in connection. Waking up is best described as moving into a constant state of prayer. There's another aspect to prayer, and that is that you are deferring authority away from yourself. Prayer is a state of humility, state a state in which there is no arrogance, and therefore no fear, no guilt. I want you to keep this in mind. Prayer is the state of being when you move out of the driver's seat. Isn't that wonderful? Now, we're at the beginning of a new section entitled The Happy Dream. Prepare you now for the undoing of what never was. If you already understood the difference between truth and illusion, the atonement would have no meaning. The holy instant, your holy relationship, the Holy Spirit's teaching, and all the means by which salvation is accomplished would have no purpose. If you already understood the difference between truth and illusion. For they are all but aspects of the plan to change your dreams of fear to happy dreams, from which you waken easily to knowledge. How do you shift to happy dreams? By abandoning your independence, practicing the holy instant, asking of God what the truth is, what is needed, and listening, until you hear. Listening until you manage to accidentally let go of control. And I'm going to say accidentally, because the only way you will let go of control is with help. And when you get the help, it will happen not at your hand, and you will call that accidental. It's important. Put yourself not in charge of this, for you cannot distinguish between advance and retreat. It's bad news. You don't know the difference between truth and illusion, and you cannot distinguish between advance and retreat. But again, it's only when you dare to realize this and accept it as true that you will begin to actually reach out to something beyond whatever wonderful capacities you have thought you've had. Some of your greatest advances you have judged as failures, and some of your deepest retreats you have evaluated as success. You don't know the difference. And as long as you think you do, you will bring your best resources, your best independent resources into play. Instead of shutting up, instead of going into the silence within, to the altar within you, which is where you naturally find yourself when you've chosen for your peace, when you choose for the holy instant and you say, Father, what is the truth here? Father, I need help. Holy Spirit, help me. Your reluctance to engage in this lies in the fact that you still have confidence in your own personal, private, independent capacities which you, at your hand, have nurtured and developed, until they have seemed to bring a semblance of dignity, integrity, and structure to this independent one that you are. Again, I want to remind you that no matter how well things are going for you, if you're still experiencing sin, sickness, and death, you are not experiencing success. You are not experiencing truth. Because you are denying the fact that God is all in all. And therefore, what is happening at God's hand, because it's the movement of creation which your choice to participate in the holy instant moves you into the access of. It's your birthright to be that which observes, is conscious of the movements God engages in as the act of creation, the forever movement of creation. As you move back into that state of attention, the happy dream is the result. The comprehension of truth infills you and gives you peace and allows you to move in harmony with what God's will is bringing forth in the movements that you had before called the world and universe. That started from a big bang and is constituted of the definitions you have adopted, either by your own creation or by being taught by others what it is, without ever shutting up and saying, in spite of what I've been taught, Father, in spite of what seems intelligent to me, Father, what is the truth here? I think it's a material world and universe. I want to see and experience the kingdom of heaven, which you have told me it is, which it has been revealed to me is the truth about it. I do not know how to shift from my definitions and the teachings I've adopted into what to me seems to be an utterly uncontrollable, original experience of what you, Father, are creating. Help me, because I do not know how to do it. Continuing, never approach the holy instant after you have tried to remove all fear and hatred from your mind. See, you don't even have to do that. In fact, you had better not do that. Never approach the holy instant after you have tried to remove all fear and hatred from your mind. That is its function. That is the function of the holy instant. And never attempt to overlook your guilt before you ask the Holy Spirit's help. That is his function. Your part is only to offer him a little willingness to what? Let him remove all fear and hatred and to be forgiven. This is very confusing to the mind that tries to order itself. In order to have integrity and some confidence that one is not totally vulnerable. Because it says do something that it tells you you can't do. Or it tells you to do something that you're not inclined to do because you're used to doing things for yourself. And here it's saying you must turn to something that is in charge, that is not you. That's confusing. If you dare to become still, if you dare to practice the holy instant, it puts you in a place where you're not in control, a place where no order will enter until you let the Father speak, until you let the Holy Spirit address you and inspire you and illumine the truth to you and then guide you in its practice, so that you are behaving in what had been a material world and universe in a new way, which ultimately you will discover is the way you behave in the kingdom of heaven, and by virtue of following the guidance that you get, so that your practice of yielding is more and more complete, you will find your mind transformed, and you will find yourself having the kingdom of heaven illuminated to you. It's a gift. It's a gift you can't control into your experience, but it is a gift you can let into your experience. Letting is what is confusing to everyone. Doing is what everyone has great confidence in. If your doing doesn't happen until after you have let inspiration illuminate the truth, then your doing will be in perfect harmony with reality, in perfect harmony with the kingdom of heaven that you're misinterpreting at this moment to be something else. And as a result, then, of your being, acting, doing, in harmony with the kingdom of heaven, all of your feedback will confirm your divinity and will confirm the kingdom of heaven and will confirm the fact that you have been successfully leaving the orphanage, the place of your so-called independence. On your little faith that you put forth in practicing the two-step, engaging in the holy instant. On your little faith, joined with his understanding, he will build your part in the atonement and make sure that you fulfill it easily. When you turn all of your decisions over to the Holy Spirit, and you act on the basis of the Holy Spirit's decisions, which he reveals to you, you find yourself more and more in harmony with reality. That's the way it works. And as a result of turning your decisions over to the Holy Spirit, you, because the Holy Spirit is nothing more than your right mind, find the cohesiveness and the intelligence and the divine order of your being. Once again, illuminated, lit up in you, so that it doesn't escape your attention. And you are transformed. All of this because you have chosen to engage in a holy relationship. And to honor that relationship. Again, what is a holy relationship? It's a relationship you have with someone, or even something, where God is not left out in the process. In other words, to once again be specifically clear, the holy relationship is the relationship you have with someone where you have not looked to them first to gather the facts of their being, but have instead done the two-step. Shut up. And in the silence ask, Father, what is the truth about this one? So that what is revealed to you by your joining with your Father about your brother or sister becomes your new perception of them, which automatically, as I've said before, causes your behavior toward them to reflect their holiness, to reflect what has been revealed to you, rather than anything you might have believed about them or anything they may have presented to you as being the truth about them. On your little faith, joined with his understanding, he will build your part in the atonement and make sure that you fulfill it easily. And with him, you, in partnership, will build a ladder planted in the solid rock of faith and rising even to heaven. Nor will you use it to ascend to heaven alone. Now, we're coming up to a part here that might help you see why you ought to not try to figure this out yourself, not try to plan it, and not try to direct it, but rather with total awareness that you don't know what it's going to take or how it's going to happen, turn to the Father and say, lead me, lead me. Through your holy relationship, reborn and blessed in every holy instant which you do not arrange. Got it? Blessed in every holy instant which you do not arrange. Thousands will rise to heaven with you. Can you plan for this? How could you plan for it when you don't even know that that's what will happen? Would you possibly conceive that that is something for you to pay attention for, or that that will happen as a result of your practicing the holy instant? No. You might think this is a private little journey of you back into your right mind, which obviously is right with you where you are, because it's one, you know, and so it's, you know, it's relatively private, except that I'm going to use my partner in the holy relationship as the justification for seeking what the Father's will is. In that way, it's not private, but would you have thought that reborn and blessed in every holy instant which you do not arrange, thousands will rise to heaven with you? No. Can you plan for this? Or could you prepare yourselves for such a function? Yet, it is possible because God wills it. That's why you want to know what God's will is. That's why you want to be willing to abandon the way you think things work and how you think things ought to work, because you will think too small. You will think as a practice of defense in a way that couldn't possibly be overwhelming or miraculous for you. It is possible because God wills it, nor will he change his mind about it. Thank God. Because that means your way home is securely established. And ultimately, you will find that you've been home all along. And that's why the way back to the conscious awareness of it is unchangeable and secure and dependable. The means and purpose both belong to him. See, they don't belong to you. Thank God. The means and purpose both belong to him. You have accepted one, the purpose. Remember? What's the purpose here? The goal is to access your holiness. Holiness is the goal. So, you have accepted one, the purpose. The other will be provided out of your hands. But your hands are there to receive. A purpose such as this, the goal of holiness, without the means is inconceivable. He will provide the means to anyone who shares his purpose. So, if the goal is holiness, if that's the purpose, and you share that purpose with the Father, with the Holy Spirit, with your brother or sister, he will provide the means. It's absolute. He will not change his mind about it. But you're going to have to mean it. When you say, Father, thy will be done, not mine. You're going to need to mean it. Which means you're going to have to listen for his voice, for his meanings, without having an ace up your sleeve, without having a backup plan, and just letting yourself abandon yourself into whatever his answer is going to be. Lean into him without reservation. And just do it throughout your day. Lean into his understanding when you're driving on the road, when you're feeding your cat, when you're cleaning your house, when you're at the office. Want to know of holiness about everything. It doesn't have to be a formal process which you're in control of. I am going to sit down, I am going to meditate for 20 minutes, and I'm going to do it twice a day. No, I'm going to do it 3 times a day. Great organization, huh? No. Do it on the spur of the moment. Do it wherever you are. Do it with whatever is going on. Say, I want to experience the holiness of this, that, or the other thing, of this moment. You see? It will become a devotion, because you would much rather know of the holiness of everything than the suffering that is otherwise experienced. Happy dreams come true. Hear that? Happy dreams come true. Not because they are dreams, but only because they are happy. And so, they must be loving. Joy is inseparable from love. Happiness is an expression of love. Happiness is a form of love. Their message, the messages of happy dreams, their message is, thy will be done, and not, I want it otherwise. Again, their message is, thy will be done, and not, I want it otherwise. You see, when you got a divorce from the father and began to function independently, everything was based on the statement, I want it otherwise. Otherwise, you would have stayed with the father and said, thy will be done. So, the happy dream is going to cost you something. The happy dream is going to cost you the right to say, I want it otherwise. And you're going to replace it with, thy will be done. That's the way you what? That's the way you annul the divorce. Moving into an attitude of thy will be done constitutes a joining that breaks the independence, and it expresses an honoring of that to which you're giving the right for his will to be done for you in your life. The alignment of means and purpose is an undertaking impossible for you to understand. And that's okay. It's not the end of the world for you not to be able to understand it, because it's going to be done for you. You don't have to be able to understand it. You do not even realize you have accepted the Holy Spirit's purpose as your own. And you would merely bring unholy means to its accomplishment. Now, what does that mean? You don't realize you have accepted the Holy Spirit's purpose as your own. The simple fact is that in spite of your insistence upon imagining yourself as independent, you've never stopped being the son or daughter of God. Your will has never been at odds with the Father. Impossible. And so, the Holy Spirit's purpose for you to remember and access your holiness is your will as well already. It's just that you are so persistent in attempting to be on your own, independent. So, you do not even realize you have accepted the Holy Spirit's purpose for holiness as your own. And, I'm going to add, because of that, you would merely bring unholy means to its accomplishment. That's what the human condition and your life as you're currently experiencing it is. The little faith it needed to change the purpose from independent creativity and authority to the goal of holiness. The little faith it needed to change the purpose is all that is required to receive the means and use them. And so when you have decided not to engage with anyone without bringing God into the picture, you've set the scene to receive the means and use them. Receive the means as direct communication from the Father, the Holy Spirit, your guide, or me. It's like tipping the first domino. The rest of them come down without effort on your part. You bring the little willingness, the domino falls. It is no dream to love your brother as yourself, nor is your holy relationship a dream. All that remains of dreams within it is that it is still a special relationship. Again, all that remains of dreams within it, within the holy relationship, is that it is still a special relationship. You still seem to be orphans, negotiating, or maybe allowing for, an annulment of your divorce from your father to occur. Yet, it is very useful to the Holy Spirit, this special relationship that you still have. Yet it is very useful to the Holy Spirit, who has a special function here. It will become the happy dream through which he can spread joy to thousands on thousands who believe that love is fear, not happiness. Let him fulfill the function that he gave to your relationship, this very all-encompassing function. Let him fulfill the function that he gave to your relationship by accepting it for you. Still letting it be done. And nothing will be wanting that would make of it what he would have it be. Again, the practice of the holy instant is the tipping over of the first domino. And incredibly more happens as a result than you could imagine that contributes to the awakening of all the brothers who are sleeping. Because when you and another withdraw investment in mutual agreements that keep the illusion going, it weakens everyone else's capacity to maintain the illusion. And I will tell you that those who are very close to letting go of their control will feel themselves pushed over the brink, out of the grasp of control and the desire for it, and find transformation spontaneously happening with them. Now, there's more that you have not dreamed of. But this is enough to warrant your practice, your more diligent, your more faithful practice of the holy instant. Because not only does it move you into the arena where God's laws prevail and transform you, correcting illusions that dog your heels, it also blesses the one you're in a holy relationship with, and it blesses infinitely. When you feel the holiness of your relationship is threatened by anything, you know, difficulty or strife between you and this one you're in a holy relationship with, this one you're being in relationship without neglecting to bring the Father with you into it. When you feel the holiness of your relationship is threatened by anything, stop instantly and offer the Holy Spirit your willingness, in spite of fear, to let him exchange this instant of fear for the holy one which you would rather have. I want you to consider that as you practice the holy instant more consistently, as you turn your decisions over to the Holy Spirit more consistently, what you love is going to shift. What you value is going to shift. And that means that your obsession with doing things yourself is going to lessen. Because you're really finding it more meaningful to engage in the holy instant and have the blessing that undoes sin, disease, and death and provides a promise of your eternal life, not as off in the future, but as very close. And therefore, because it's very close, you desire and feel in harmony with further abandoning your authority and saying, "Thy will be done," to the Father, practicing the holy instant. He, the Holy Spirit, will never fail in this. But forget not that your relationship is one. And so it must be that whatever threatens the peace of one is an equal threat to the other. The power of joining and its blessing lie in the fact that it is now impossible for either of you to experience fear alone or to attempt to deal with it alone. You see, you've got to realize that you're in this partnership, that you're in this partnership. And in that partnership, life is shared, meaning is shared, ignorance is shared, and so on. Never believe that this is necessary or even possible. Again, the power of joining and its blessing lie in the fact that it is now impossible for either of you to experience fear alone or to attempt to deal with it alone. Never believe that this is necessary or even possible, meaning even possible now that you've joined in the holy relationship. Yet, just as this is impossible, so is it equally impossible that the holy instant come to either of you without the other. You see? And it will come to both at the request of either. Now, during this coming week, I want you to review this because this is very important. You haven't realized how complete the union is in the holy relationship. And because of that, you both have the capacity to help each other move forward, whichever is saner at the time when the threat is perceived should remember how deep is his indebtedness to the other and how much gratitude is due him, and be glad that he can pay his debt by bringing happiness to both. Because of the commitment to the holy relationship, when there's a challenge, whichever one has the greater stability to remember to not use his or her mind for ego purposes, for purposes of control or judgment, and chooses right at the moment of threat or disturbance to say, "Father, what is the truth here?" You see, don't even engage in reaction. "Father, what is the truth here?" You and your partner will be blessed. You will be blessed. Why? Well, the fact that you personally, neither one of you, can do anything to change the situation, and the fact that that's accepted and one of you says, "Father, what is the truth here?" One of you joins in the holy instant. This lifts you both out. Why? Because in the request, the Holy Spirit responds and does for the two of you what you can't do for yourself. And so when there's threat, when there's dissonance, whatever, and you are inclined to react emotionally, catch yourself. Engage in the holy instant. Simply abandon the dynamics of what are disturbing and say, "Father, Holy Spirit, what is the truth here? Help. I do not know how to do it. And I understand now that it's not my job to do it personally, but for me to let you do it for us. This I ask for." Again, whichever, and I'm going to add, of you is saner at the time when the threat is perceived, should remember how deep is his indebtedness to the other, and how much gratitude is due him, and be glad that he can pay his debt by bringing happiness to both. Let him remember this and say, "I desire this holy instant for myself, that I may share it with my brother, whom I love. It is not possible that I can have it without him or he without me. Yet it is wholly possible for us to share it now. And so I choose this instant as the one to offer to the Holy Spirit, that His blessing may descend on us and keep us both in peace. Now that's a prayer, isn't it? And that meets the criteria of what a prayer is, as I said earlier, saying yes to God. Let this coming week be as full of prayer as possible. And be alert, because you know what the opposite of prayer feels like. And so you're able to recognize when you're not putting your mind to its true use, or to a good use, and engage immediately in this prayer. Let it be a prayerful, joined, transformational week. I love you. And I look forward to being with all of you next time.